This past Saturday, I had the good fortune of being a guest on the A1 Custom Car Care radio show with Dustin Atwood and our very own Sarah Myers. And one of the things that I've learned, probably most valuably, is the importance of having that pre-purchase inspection. And this isn't an inspection that you're used to, you're required by the government in order to get tags. This is where they really get in, really let you know exactly what it is that you're getting into. Is your car in some sort of flood? You know, a lot of times these flooded vehicles, they do everything they can to clean them up and make them look as if they were not in a flood. But that's part of what they can do at A1 Custom Car Care, is take things apart and see the telltale signs of whether it was in a flood. And sometimes it may not be something that's totally devastating for your vehicle, but it can also help you leverage a better deal as well. It's just best to know exactly what you are buying. And I learned that the hard way before I knew about this service from A1 Custom Car Care, purchasing a pre-owned vehicle without getting one. And I think I paid more trying to keep it going than I did for the vehicle itself. And I eventually sold it to somebody that had to tow it away, sold it for like $400 or something. So don't make that mistake. Don't ever purchase a pre-owned vehicle without taking it to A1 Custom Car Care first. All of their contact info is under Nick's endorsements at KSGF.com. Jason Ryman out with the latest news update. First alert forecast, chance of showers, thunderstorms, 76 for a high today, chance of showers, storms, low of 60 tonight, showers, possibly a thunderstorm tomorrow, 70 and a high of 64 on Friday with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. We're going to go ahead and jump over to the traffic and then... This hour, we're going to play some segments of some of the more recent past episodes with D. Wampler. So we all have one last chance to hear him on the airwaves. Of course, you can go back and listen to past episodes in the on-demand section, sponsored by GunTech Nixa. But for this hour today, we are going to play a number of different segments that we have had here with D. Wampler. So that coming up in moments. I'm Nick Reed. We're going to take this hour to listen some of the past segments with D. Wampler, and this one where he talks a bit about the law and the Constitution.
Yeah, common questions that I am asked as a criminal defense attorney.
Is one of them, do you believe me?
I tell clients, it's not to me, you don't have to convince me, you're not going to try the case in my office. But we have to put your case before a judge or jury. The question is, will they believe you? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have to look at people and go, look, I was born in the dark, but I wasn't born yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I don't really think that that's a defense. Okay. One of the questions I get a lot is, should I take a lie detector test? The police want me to take a lie detector test. The answer is absolutely not. Okay. Never take a lie detector test because they can fool you on it. They can lie about whether you passed it or not. Mm-hmm. And also there are parts of the lie detector test that are admissible in court later.
Oh,
so you may think it's not admissible. Yeah. Lie detectors aren't admissible in any court, any state.
So what part is admissible?
Well, the first part where they interview you, they say, Nick, before we turn the machine on, okay, I want to know anything bad you've ever done in your life so that we get that off your conscience.
Oh.
So they want to go into your past and
tricky.
Know everything. Yeah. Another one, should I take the voice stress analyzer test? Don't ever do that. That's a stupid thing.
Now, is that essentially a lie detector test, but instead of your heartbeat and your butt?
It has to do with your voice. Okay. Yeah, that's stupid. Another one is, police came up to me on the street and wanted to interview me. Must I talk to a police officer? And the answer is no. You don't have to talk to anybody that you don't want to talk to. Now, a lot of people do unnecessarily talking on the phone, and anybody can tape record you at any time on the phone. So you want to be real careful about that. You're probably not being wiretapped because we don't do a lot of wiretapping here in this area. So now the main one, if I had a nickel for this, for every time I'd be a millionaire, they didn't advise me of my rights.
This is okay, what people say to you.
Yeah, under Miranda versus, they think this is a defense. Under Miranda versus Arizona back in the 60s, you have to be advised of four constitutional rights, that you have the right to remain silent, and if you can't afford a lawyer, one will be appointed, and so forth. Well, that only applies if you're in custody. So an officer can come up and try to talk to you at any time, or actually invite you to join him at the police station and can interview you. And if you're free to leave, it's known as the free to leave test, then Miranda doesn't apply. So anything you say is admissible, and they don't have to advise you. Now, if you admit to a crime, then the officer is going to say, wait, hold on, now I have to advise you of your rights. But prior to that, it's probably going to be admissible into evidence. You got to watch what you say.
I'm writing down thoughts questions I have. Well, I'm going to wait until you're done.
Of course, my clients are innocent, so
all of them,
you know, I really don't have
that's
a problem.
That's how you choose them. Yeah.
Now, do they have the right to search your car, your glove box, your trunk? Probably yes, if they have probable cause. So if, you know, you violated the law this morning, and so did every listener probably on this program, violated a law today. Did you change lanes? Did you signal when you changed lanes?
Smoke crack in the parking lot.
Yeah. Do you have a light that is over your license plate? Is your license plate correct? And on and on and on. Did you speed? Of course. I'm sure you did. So everybody violates the law during the day. There's just the caught and the uncaught. So if they make a traffic stop on you, they can just follow you for 5 seconds and find something you did wrong. Then they can question you while you're in the car. And if probable cause develops, yes, they can search your trunk, your glove box, and all they have to have is what we call probable cause. Now, we also have a law, that's how I named my cat, stop and frisk. Stop and frisk. We have a stop and frisk law. So they can come up to you on the street without probable cause and begin to question you if they have a reasonable suspicion that a crime has occurred or will occur in the future. So there's kind of a different standard there.
So on that point, do they have to tell you why?
No.
Do they have to? So
no. Okay. No, no, they're going to ask you. They're going to ask you questions like, "Where are you going? What's your name? What's your business?"
But now, so earlier you said what people were like, "Do I have to talk to police?" And you said, "No, you don't have to talk to anyone that you don't want to."
You
so
don't.
How does that?
You don't. And my clients are always going to say, "Well, if I didn't talk to them, they were going to think I'm guilty." Yeah. Well, they already think you're guilty. So why do you hand them your head on a silver platter?
So how does that reconcile with stop and frisk?
I tell you what, you really don't have much in the way of constitutional rights when it comes to being in your motor vehicle. Now, you have a lot of rights in your house or your business. Under the Fourth Amendment, they can't cross the threshold. Mm-hmm. And that's another one. Suppose they're knocking at your door and they say, "Mr. Reed, police, open up."
Yeah, I've been there.
You don't have to open the door. There's no law that says you have to open your door. You can say, "Go away," or "I'm going to call the sheriff."
Oh, so I don't have to actually pretend I'm not home. I can fully say, no, that's all right.
Well, they're going to get you sooner or later because you're in your house, and sometime you're going to leave the house. But you do not have to open the door. And if you open the door, don't let them get their foot across the threshold. So if you have a screen door or whatever, keep it locked. Because they're going to say, "We need to come in, and we need to talk to you at your kitchen table. And we need to get your ID, and we need this, and we need that." No, they don't. They don't have to come in. You just say right then and there, "What is it that you want? Why are you here?" You know, and you can show them your ID through the glass or whatever. But you do not have to let them in your house. You do not have to talk with them.
All right.
And now if they say, if they have a search warrant, you got, or an arrest warrant, they can come in. So that's a little bit different. That's where a judge has approved the warrant. So, you know, if they're knocking on your door, you do not have to open the door. And I'm mainly saying if you're guilty of something. Most people are going to say, "Sure, you can search my trunk. It's okay. There's nothing in there." But
you just want to make sure there isn't.
Yeah, absolutely. routine traffic stops out here on I-44 and so forth, they won't admit it, but they profile. Now, police officers are going to go crazy when they hear this, but they, because of their experience, they look for certain indicia, which causes them to ripen their probable cause in order to question you about the purpose of your trip, separate you from the passenger, and interview each of you and try to find inconsistencies. I call that profiling, but that's a no-no word.
Well, I think that profiling, it's a matter of judgment, and it does occur. It's just we're told you're not supposed to do certain type of profiling. I mean, I imagine just vehicle types. Oftentimes, you see some vehicle. We all do that. I'm sorry, if you are walking through your neighborhood and you see, you know, just a normal-looking sedan driving through your neighborhood, you might not think anything. But if you see some beat-up car driving slowly,
2:30 in the morning,
2:30 in the morning,
that doesn't belong there.
You're profiling that at, because of the conditions, because of the situation. You know, the time, the vehicle itself. There's no license plates on it. You know, you are profiling those conditions as something that are suspicious, and so we all do it.
Everybody profiles when you walk around Park Central Square and you see somebody coming in your direction that doesn't look exactly right. Everybody profiles. You're aware of your circumstances, and you go out in the parking lot at a Price Cutter. You darn right. Yeah. If you see something suspicious, go back in the store until that person moves on.
We oftentimes hear that, well, this person isn't a suspect, but they are a person of interest. To law enforcement, what difference does that make in terms of what they are and are not allowed to do?
They're going to arrest you and give you the once-over good guy, bad guy routine.
Why the distinction? If you are just a person of interest, are they allowed to question you in ways that they aren't, or are some of the things you say, can they be used in ways that they couldn't if you're a suspect?
Yeah, they don't have a case yet, and they just want to stop and question you.
Okay.
And you're a fool at that point if you know you're a person of interest. And you talk to them. Don't talk to them.
So really,
95% of the people in prison tried to please the police officer by talking, and they're there because of their mouth.
Do police really enjoy the advice you give when they?
It's a love-hate relationship. When I see them at the courthouse, I go, when I was prosecuting an attorney in the 70s and 60s, you weren't even born yet. Yeah. You know, and these cops all go, when were you prosecutor? And they go, yep, you're right. Or a couple times they'll say, yeah, I was in diapers at the time. But the police officers that I knew that were my friends, they're all gone now.
So the difference in terms of, and they're very specific about this, it seems like whenever they talk to the press, no, they're not a suspect, they're a person of interest. Other than the label, there's really no...
Not really. And if it's an arrest warrant, if an arrest has been issued, then a judge has read a probable cause affidavit and caused a warrant to be issued. So you'll see a lot of those with Crime Stoppers. Incidentally, did you know that I was the guy that brought Crime Stoppers to Springfield?
I did know that.
I was the first president and the guy that came up with the idea. I hate to brag.
Well, you ought to once in a while.
Well, what the heck. Anyway.
So how often do you...
If there's an arrest warrant, well, then you got to turn yourself in.
So how often do you get somebody on, their client, and they're immediately like, yeah, I did all of this. And if so, because some people... may think, well, do you have to report that? Do they have how does that work?
To the lawyer?
To you, yeah. You get hired.
I will tell you that men traditionally are macho, and they will only give you half the story, and they are into what I call a serious case of denial, and they'll come in and come up with all kinds of defenses that they've conjured up. Women are very forthcoming, and they'll tell you more than you need to know. They will give you too much information. And women are excruciatingly honest and go over and over everything. And men are the opposite.
So a lot of people may wonder.
I like women better.
And I don't
know. Because they tell me the truth.
I don't know that this is necessarily a legal question, but a lot of people may wonder, all right, so you're a defense attorney, somebody they've They're accused of some pretty horrific crime, and they totally and completely confess it to you. People wonder, how do you then go about creating a case where you argue they're innocent when you know they're not?
I'm not the judge right. or the jury, and what I do is present the best argument that I can to the judge or jury about my client. There's good in everybody, mm-hmm. and you try to determine what is good. You get your client in drug and alcohol treatment, or get them in anger management, or get them in all kinds of programs, which we have now, and you present your client as best you can to the judge or jury and let them judge. Now, the prosecutor has got he's got tough evidence against your client. He's going to present the bad part.
Right.
And then you kind of look at the bad part, and possibly you can argue. But like you say, a person is charged with first-degree murder. Let's say a woman mm-hmm. kills her husband. Maybe she's not guilty of first-degree murder. Okay. Maybe he was coming at her and had assaulted her previously. Maybe she's only guilty of second-degree murder, mm-hmm. or maybe she's guilty of manslaughter, mm-hmm. and there are two or three different types okay. of manslaughter. And even though the husband may be dead and in his grave, and the government says she's guilty of murder, that doesn't necessarily mean right. that a judge or jury will find her guilty of murder and put her in prison for the rest of her life. There are degrees, in other words.
Right.
And the government will overcharge a lot. Mm-hmm. They do it on purpose, so they have wiggle room later. They can plea bargain.
Okay.
And we all did that when we were prosecuting yeah. an attorney. You file on somebody you think is guilty, but a lot of times there's a settlement in the case. Most 90% of the cases are settled. If every case pending now would go to trial, our system would break down. Mm-hmm. So plea bargaining is not very well thought of by most of the public, but if we didn't have it, the system would break down.
Dee Wampler with us. Okay, I've got two more and then one on the text line. So, I've seen this before. Somebody gets pulled over, and the first thing that the officer does is they ask license and registration, and then the person, who's usually filming, says, "What did I do?" And the officer, in the instances that end up going viral, they say, "No, you just show me your license and registration." And there's this, "All right, stalemate here. No, I won't until you tell me what I do." Do they have to tell you why they pulled you over in order to require you to show your ID?
No, they don't have to. The law says you have to have a license on you, or at least you have to have a license. And an officer actually, there's a state statute with the Missouri State Highway Patrol. They enforce public safety on the highways. And the public's not going to want to hear this, but a highway patrolman can pull you over anytime he wants to check your license.
That's in Missouri.
Pardon? Yes, this is state law. It's not very well known. Most people aren't aware of that statute, but there is one, so they can. Now, normally the officer will say, "Well, we clocked you doing 81 mm-hmm. in a 75-mile zone, or we've checked your license," and it's normally they will tell you. But as I've said before, never, never be a constitutional lawyer on the shoulder of the highway. Don't argue right. with the police officer. He's the guy with the badge and the gun.
Right.
Please don't argue. You can end up getting shot.
Well, in this, I had one other question, but somebody had texted in, what are the canine hit laws regarding a traffic stop?
The dogs, they have they can either sit down and wag their tail, a passive one, or an aggressive one where they bark and so forth, and they can detain you at the scene for a reasonable period of time until Fido comes. Mm. And then Fido sniffs around. His odoriferary scent is 100 times or more than a citizen. And they are taught to smell drugs, and they're pretty accurate. So they can detain you at the scene for a while, and you just hope the dog doesn't – you hope he hikes his leg and does something on your front tire. You hope he doesn't start barking and yelping.
Yeah, don't keep begging strips in your car.
Right.
Now, let's say you get pulled over and they have probable cause to search your vehicle. In your vehicle is your phone.
You're
so
toast.
Got that.
You're toast.
If your phone has a password, they say, "What's your password?" Do you have
you
to
don't have
them?
To give it to okay. them. But they can seize your phone. In fact, they can seize your car. So if you just paid off your brand new car, you don't owe a dime, but you've got drugs in the car, they can forfeit your vehicle and any cash that they find in the vehicle.
One of the current board members of Crime Stoppers texted in and said that they have a spot for you on the board today.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a little bit of a problem because I represent people, and many of them
see
have
a conflict
been,
there.
it could conceivably be a conflict.
Yeah, so I have it to acts be as careful. A pipeline to your office. Sometimes,
yeah, I know the public doesn't believe this, but most lawyers try to be ethical, and they do watch. You know, no man can serve two masters. It comes. Our laws come from the Bible, a lot of them. And that's where our conflict of interest laws come from, is the Bible. You can only serve one client at a time unless you get a waiver where two clients say it's okay. Let's say it's a husband and wife. In that situation, you can represent both. Anyway, I got some other things to talk about. I'll have to save them until next Wednesday.
All right, roll them over. D. Wampler, thank you as always, sir. It's a pleasure. All right, and we're going to have more with past segments with D. Wampler coming up. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. All of your home loan needs, Don Carricker. I want it. GreatHomeLoan.com. It's a very simple process. It was developed for you to make it as easy as possible. And as you know, government has worked so diligently over the years to make the process better for you, to protect you. It, of course, as usual with government, has made it worse and more laborious. And that's where Don Carricker and his team come in. They want to carry that burden for you. And they do. They give you tips ahead of time, things not to do, things that you wouldn't otherwise know, in order to not hindrance the process. But when things do pop up, they take care of it. In fact, after I went through the process years ago, I would find out after the fact that there was some issue that got them scrambling in order to keep things on track that I never even knew about. And it's the sort of thing that if I had gone through anyone else, it may have completely derailed the process for me, preventing me from being able to close on my home in time. To get the process started, it's very simple. You go to IWantAGreatHomeLoan.com because you do. Whether it's refinancing or purchasing a new home, an investment home, whatever it may be, they can answer all of your questions. Anna's info is under Nick's endorsements at KSGF.com. First Alert forecast sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. A chance of showers, thunderstorms with a high of 76 today. A chance for showers, storms tonight, 60 for a low. Showers, possibly a thunderstorm tomorrow with a high of 70. And Friday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high of 64. This hour, we are playing some segments from past D. Wampler episodes, as he was here with us faithfully every Thursday, or every Wednesday, rather, 7 a.m., and we wanted to, given the unexpected nature of his absence, just have one last show with D. Wampler, and so that's what we're doing. In the last segment, we had some of his advice. It was the questions that he gets asked the most, and we're going to have a few more segments here as we finish out the last part of the hour. As you know, many of you were always wondering about Stop and Frisky.
I got a couple of things to talk about. First of all, I want to report on Stop and Frisky. She's doing great.
Good.
And she waits every morning and she circles around. Whoever comes to my office, she circles around you and flips her tail against you. I'd like to know what cats are thinking. I really would.
I think they're manipulating you when that happens.
Well, I think they're showing control or something, but I feed her every day, and it's a dollar a day, and she gets up in the window and sticks her whiskers up against my window glass and gets cat food all over the window. I have to go wash the window every day, and I think the cat is, I don't know if she gives me unconditional love or not. That's what I really am seeking, is unconditional love. But I think she just sees me as a source of food, I suspect.
What if...
does any of your listeners, would they like to have a cat? Well, just contact me.
Well, you're trying to get rid of Stop. Now, here you are talking about wanting unconditional love from Stop and Frisky, and you're like, oh, by the way, I'll get rid of her. So,
well, do you wonder? She draws other cats is the problem. I've got like three others, and I shoo them off, and they're not getting the point.
She probably every day goes back to wherever it is she stays. and talks to the other cats. And she's like, you know what? I don't really know this guy. If all he wants me is to rub against his legs, I can't figure out if he loves me unconditionally, or I just don't know what he wants. And so the two of you just need to have a conversation, I think.
Well, I try to mix the food up so that she doesn't have the same kind of food every day. And there's certain foods she doesn't like, mm-hmm. and she has a different purr. I mean, it's a meow, but it's a different when I'm getting ready mm-hmm. to feed her.
Yeah.
And I do detect that. So, but anyway.
You know what she might like this. If you want to just give her a special treat. Now I'm being serious. I can tell you think I'm going to make a joke. I buy a can of tuna. And you can usually get them at Aldi for 64, 68 cents. And in the morning, give her half a can. She loves it. She loves that. And it's cheaper than a lot of wet cat food, that's for sure. Mm. And then the rest of the day, we keep dry food out for her. But in the morning, she loves that. And so as soon as I get up, I'm in the bathroom, and I'll hear out there, meow, meow. And then she paws at the door, let me know, because she wants that tuna.
Well, she gets up on top of the cars. When the weather's cold, she'll get up on top of the hood. And then she hides under the cars when it's hot to kind of get out of the sun. So, you know, I have to tell everybody that comes to my office, don't run over my cat. Mm-hmm. Make certain.
Now, before we get traffic here, and I don't know if I've ever asked you this, but as you talk about Stop and Frisky, I know people imagine they're trying to figure out what she – so what does she look like? So people can have an image.
She's gray and dark striped, and she's not a really beautiful cat. But, you know, I've been with her so long now, she looks good to me.
I bet she says the same thing about you. Now, is it long hair or short hair?
Short hair.
Okay.
And I've taken her to the vet a couple of times, and she was really emaciated there for a couple of weeks, and she had worms.
Okay.
You can imagine. Yeah. Don't try to imagine. That's okay.
All right, we're listening to some of the past episodes with Dee Wampler. We're going to take a break when we come back. We're going to listen to several weeks back where he was talking about the grieving process he went through and how he got out of that. And he wanted to do that, and he had talked to me several weeks ahead of time thinking that maybe what he went through expressing that and sharing that with you might help some of you who perhaps were also going through a process of grieving. And he just he hoped that, you know, perhaps as he always was trying to help people, what he went through and coming out the other side in a positive way was something that might be helpful to others. So we'll have that segment coming up next. I'm Nick Reed. We are playing segments from some of the more recent past episodes in which Dee Wampler joined us. Of course, 7 o'clock on Wednesdays was always his hour to join us. And as many of you know, it was some time ago, within the past year, that his wife had passed on, and it was very, very difficult for him. But he was able to come out of those real low points, and in doing so, he felt maybe he had something to offer to any one of you out there who may be going through the same sort of thing. And so that's what this segment was about.
Okay, can I talk about something very personal?
Yes.
Is that all right?
I love that.
I'm hesitant to do that, but...
Well, you've mentioned that you might for some time.
I was married for 56 years and had a wonderful marriage and dated my wife 2 years prior to that. So darn near 60 years, she was my helpmate. And then she got sick and was in hospice. I took care of her for 8 months, and then she passed away about 8 months ago. So it's been... The last 2 years have been really rough on me, and I've never been lonely before. And talk about grief. And I was mentioning to you off the air, at one time I felt like I was suicidal. It was that bad, and I was able to go to my minister and get a little counseling, and a couple of friends of mine gave me books to read, and anyway, you go out at night and, you know, it's a kind of a couple's world, and it's lonely. And there's 5 stages of grief. I became an expert on it. And one of the stages is depression and loneliness and so forth, and anger and shock and denial and all these things that you go through. And at some point in time, I started praying praying unceasingly for God. I got down on my hands and knees and was asking, I don't know what you've got in store for me, but help me get through life. Show me some guidance and some direction. And I don't know how many of your listeners, I know most of them are dedicated Christians because I've met a lot of your listeners, that actually get down and pray. I mean, when's the last time anybody got down on their hands and knees and really prayed? And I wasn't praying for anything specific. I was just saying, help me just get through one more day. And then, believe it or not, I met a lady at my church that I had known for two or three years. And I asked her to go to lunch with me, and she listened to me, and I cried and so forth. And long story short, about 2 months ago, she had a central part in my life where we go out two or three or four times a week, and I get to talk and tell things, and she tells about things, and we become very close. And all I'm saying is, if I can be a beacon to some of your listeners this morning, everybody has problems, and whether it's loneliness or whether it's a death in the family or whether it's financial problems or whether it's children, grandchildren. I believe in prayer. And if it wasn't for the fact that I think that God put this woman in my life to help me through, and it's been a good relationship. And I won't find anyone that will replace my wife, but I know there are people that listening to this program, and you're saying, oh, you know, and I hate to talk about this in a way because it you know, men just don't want to talk about stuff like this. But it was good for me to talk to people and prayer, and more than ever now, I believe in prayer. And I wasn't praying to have a woman in my life or anything specific. Where am I going, you know, after 60 years with my wife? You can't walk in the other man's shoes unless you've been there. And the loneliness and everything. I would come into this radio program and laugh and act like I was really having a great time, and then I'd go home and, you know, I didn't care whether I lived. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to bring that up. Maybe I can help other people to get counseling, to talk about it with somebody, and go to church, to pray, to ask for help from people. And it's been a good thing for me, and now my life is worth living. You know, I have somebody that calls me every day and says, how's your day? Well, you can't imagine what's that worth, you know, to have somebody call you and really care about, you know, whether you're taking your right kind of medicines and how do you feel and are you doing this and doing that. And so I just thought I'd bring that up personally. I talk to a lot of judges and lawyers and police officers that listen to this program, and, you know, everybody's got problems. And anyway, I've been successful thus far getting through my grief, and I just thought I'd make that personal comment that maybe I can help somebody else by listening to this. I don't know how vast your audience is, but I know you have a lot of people that do have problems that need prayer, and I pray that they can find somebody to talk to bring them out of the grief and depression. So really, that's all I have to say. It's the end of my little, you know, and reading the Bible and staying close to God and trying to, you know, be a good person has really been a godsend, I guess, to me. And so that's kind of the end of my little personal rant.
Well, I'm glad you shared. And I know you've talked about sharing in the past, and it makes me very happy that you have found this, because I know one of the I'm not the best when it comes to sharing emotions, or I kind of wall myself off. So I think oftentimes I'm not the best when it comes to helping other people. But I, you know, at the same time, hated to see what you were going through, but also knowing there probably wasn't a whole heck of a lot I could do about it. And so I'm so glad that this has come about in your life, because it makes me selfishly feel better knowing that you are much happier than clearly you
and
were.
And also, yeah. Susie likes to go to movies with me, see, so look out. And we're, you know, to find someone that you're equally yoked with. I mean, we met in church,
yeah.
And I was not going to date, not ever, and go to a bar to meet somebody.
Right.
But God just put this woman in my life at a church. I mean, you can't believe, but you got to find somebody that thinks as you do, and also she's a good conservative Republican. That helps.
Let's see. So two of the big check marks, and I am a firm believer that most successful relationships, on whatever level they are, come to those who aren't looking for them. Because if you're looking for them, if you're wanting it, it's like somebody who's buying a new car and you want a new car desperately. You try to talk yourself into why this is a good one or why that's a good one. But if you're not and you just stumble upon that thing and it's like, oh my gosh, I was not expecting this. I think that's why those relationships tend to work out really nicely. And given that you had no plans at all to have any sort of relationship like that, but for it to be delivered to you, you know, I think says a lot about it. So
and I counsel people all day long. I represent people that are in deep trouble, and I'm always either fighting with my clients or fighting with the prosecutor, fighting with witnesses or sometimes judges. And, you know, I got a lot of stress during the day, and generally I'm okay during the day. You know, but then you go home at night and this loneliness hits you. So it's great to have somebody in your life. And and also.
And that was Dee Wampler again, and I think it was the month before last, just wanting to share his experience, hoping that it might just touch one of you because you all gave him so much and maybe provide a little help and comfort and guidance. We're going to take another break, and then we'll have one last segment with the past episode of Dee Wampler here on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. And a final segment, a past episode with Dee Wampler. Here he is again, talking Stoppin' Frisky.
Many of your listeners want a cat. I've now got three cats.
You got three.
Stoppin' Frisky has two friends, and one of them is a big gray cat that's mean-looking that I can't scare off. And I can only buy Meow Mix just enough for one cat. I can't feed the whole neighborhood.
Now, are these cats friends, or are they looking for more out of Stoppin' Frisky?
They ran off one of my clients last week who came in with a comfort dog. And when the client left my office with the dog, Stoppin' Frisky got into it with the comfort dog. Oh. Now, I don't know why cats and dogs don't get along, but I understand some do. But at my office, it's a tough situation there, and they lie on the parking lot and get under your car or get on the hood, and you know, you got paw prints all over, especially in the winter. It's a real problem.
Now, I don't.
Is there a law against cats running at large? I wish somebody'd tell me what the law is on that. I know there's one about dogs.
If I recall correctly, 7 or 8 years ago, the council was grappling with what people should be allowed to do with feral cats, and I want to say that I don't know if it was on Commercial Street or there was some area. I remember some business owners were talking about in the alleyways where the trash is kept and everything. It was becoming a real, real problem with feral cats, but I don't know whatever came of it.
Stoppin' Frisky ate the head off of a squirrel and then deposited the squirrel at my front door. That was gross.
So she is a romantic.
That was really gross.
What did you do with it?
I couldn't get a secretary to take the squirrel out to the trash, so being the boss, I did it.
Oh, so you didn't keep it. Well, how do you think that made her feel?
Well,
you know, that's a sign of love. You could have taken it and then stuffed its head with potpourri and had it out as a nice little air freshener.
Seriously, if anybody wants a cat, I don't want Stoppin' Frisky to leave me, but the other two cats, they can go.
Now, do you think there's a chance that a few months from now, Stoppin' Frisky might be with kittens? Is this a potential reason that these cats are hanging around?
We have taken her to a vet.
Oh,
things,
so that's
things
not
are
a,
taken
okay.
care of.
Oh,
all
right.
is well.
Okay.
And but she gets in your way and flips her tail around you, and she
still has it.
She does give me unconditional love, and there's something to be said for that.
And I'm sure I've asked you this. I know I have, but the answer.
Yeah, I hope it's not too personal.
I get no. Why don't you take her home? I mean, I guess you'd.
I have bird feeders at home.
You can keep her inside.
No, I don't think so. Thanks anyway.
I know some people don't like indoor animals.
I appreciate the thought.
Just curious. That's D. Wampler again. And like I said, we just, given the unexpected nature of his leaving us, wanted to have this hour, so we had an opportunity to listen. And these are all, of course, from some of the past episodes, and we do have that on-demand section. And the if you go through, I mean, it's very clear which ones D is on, so you can always go back and listen. And then, of course, we'll have this compilation of some of the past episodes also up today in the on-demand section. And I know we've had this in the news, and you've also seen, but the visitation and funeral information is as follows. The visitation will be held Thursday, which would be tomorrow, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., and the funeral services will be Friday at 11 a.m. Both will take place at the Second Baptist Church, 3111 East Battlefield in Springfield. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations be made to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in memory of his granddaughter, Lizzie. And we'll make sure to get all of that information up as well at KSGF.com. And I said it before and I'll say it again just to let you all know, you all meant the absolute world to D. Wampler. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed.